Hello, Minnesota boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Brian Johnson, and my co-host is Sean Strauss. Well, in this episode, we're going to do a quick recap of a fantastic boxing card presented at the Minneapolis Armory last night and broadcast around the world by Showtime. Minnesota boxing fans and sports fans in general just turned out in droves to watch what turned out to be a very entertaining slate of matches at the historic Armory. So Sean and I are going to talk a little bit about a few of the matches that happened last night, including the main event where Tim Zhu, Australian superstar, improved to 21-0 with a unanimous decision victory over a very game fighter, Terrell Gauchet, a 2012 U.S. Olympian. Also on the card, in the televised portion of the card, Michelle Rivera improved to 23-0 with a unanimous decision victory over Joseph Adorno. Elvis Rodriguez, with Freddie Roach in his corner, won by knockout over Juan Jose Velasco. Other fighters victorious on the card include Bakram Murtazaliev of Russia, Joey Spencer of Linden Hills, Michigan. He improved to 15-0. Brian Mendoza, Joseph Goodall, Michael Angeletti, Trayvon Marshall, and Breon Crothers, all in the win column last night. So Sean and I are going to talk a little bit about the main event and some of the other action. And then we're going to present post-fight interviews from Tim Zhu and Michelle Rivera. We hope you enjoy the episode. But just to, I guess, recap what happened last night, I just thought it was a great crowd and a great atmosphere. And really proud of the way people turned out here and came out for this event. I think it speaks well of Minnesota boxing that we had such a great atmosphere for this fight on Showtime, seen all over the world. And so really, really pumped about that. But the main event certainly didn't let us down. I think the Tim Zhu's people must have been sweating buckets in that first round when he was floored. And it looked like he might be in trouble, but he, to his credit, he came back strong and was, I thought, won convincingly. But all credit to Gauchet, too. He clearly came to fight, and he, we expected a good fight, and they didn't disappoint. So all in all, it was a good main event and just a good card up and down. So what were your impressions, Sean?
I guess, to your point, I mean, Gauchet, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think, you know, the betting crowd, I think, was, you know, Zhu is a huge favorite going into the fight, despite the great amateur and professional pedigree of Gauchet. And I think the kind of the consensus amongst the people that I talked to was that Zhu was going to kind of wear him down. So it was going to go deep, you know, if not the distance. But they expected Gauchet to be a good fighter and to give him a difficult time. But I don't think anyone expected Gauchet to drop him in the first round, least not that I had spoken to. So that was exciting. Really just kind of, I mean, the ring entrances were great. I mean, Gauchet, I don't know the name of the rapper that he had, but he had a rapper walking him in. I'm sure on the broadcast on Showtime, they probably identify who that is. And even though that's not my style of music, it was really cool. Something different that you don't typically see at the Armory. And then when Zhu came in, they're playing the AC/DC Thunder, which is always getting everyone pumped up. I tried to share that video. And of course, you know, due to copyright, they muted it. But it's really cool. And that really got everyone hyped up. But yeah, then when the knockdown happens, everyone jumps out of their seats after Gauchet drops them. And unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to capitalize on it. And the fight ends up going deeper, but, and I didn't see it. I want to rewatch the fight back because, you know, Zhu was lucky. He did get a cut up on the left hairline early in that fight. I think it was from a headbutt.
Yeah.
And I saw that early and I saw they got it, you know, taken care of and they had Vaseline on it. So I was like, all right, it's probably going to be okay. But those can be dangerous cuts and they can bleed a lot. And especially over the eyes, but I think it was more on the outside. So all in all, that all turned out good.
Well, it was just a great fight. Yeah, it was a great fight. Very, very exciting, fan friendly. You know, just not a lot of clinching or wrestling or anything like that, but just, you know, it's funny because at time, well, first of all, you mentioned the cut and Tim addressed that in the post-fight press conference. And I know you were down watching the walkout fights, which is great. And, but Tim said that that was from a head cut, a headbutt. And you could see it there just kind of on his hairline where the cut was. And his corner, he gave a lot of credit to his cut man in his corner for dealing with that. And it wasn't a factor. So good for them for doing a great job on that cut. And, you know, just Tim was, I think, kind of, it didn't seem like, you know, he called it a flash knockdown, which looking at the replay, you know, I mean, he definitely got caught with a good shot, but I don't think he was really hurt. And I think maybe that even sort of lit a fire under him and like, okay, just gotta get to work now. But he didn't seem to be fazed by it at all. And obviously finished the fight strong and just he showed that he was just in great condition because he didn't slow down through 12 rounds. He kept up a pretty good pace, I thought. So
yeah, when it happened, when he got knocked down, I wasn't so sure that he wasn't hurt. But he's smart and, you know, did his job to collect himself, you know, and to get out of the round and recuperate. And then, like I said, Gache wasn't able to capitalize on it. And I don't know exactly what Gache thought that he was going to show him that he hadn't seen before. You know, in the press conference, he said that I'm going to show him something he hasn't seen before. And maybe it was just the timing thing. I don't know. But I thought Gache did a great job as far as moving around the ring, making Tim follow him, which is something you don't want to do when you're a fighter. You want to cut the ring off and you don't want to follow a guy. Tim was continually applying pressure, but Gache was moving around and he was able to get him in spots. He would linger every once in a while, but for the most part, he was good and he was moving. And he would, just when you thought like, uh-oh, like, you know, this is not good for Gache, he'd answer back. Maybe waited a little bit too long at times. But then eventually he, you know, the body shots and everything, it slowed him down. And then he became stationary and he'd lingered on those ropes. And then Tim just teed off on him and had his way.
I think that's where he really came up short. At times it looked like he was almost using a rope-a-dope strategy on him when he was just had his back to the ropes. And I know he was able to block some of those punches, but it still takes a toll when, you know, Tim did a good job of really working the body. And, you know, even when you're getting hit on the arms there, that takes a toll after a while. Like you said, to your point, Tim, or Gache did, he counterpunched pretty well, I thought, and did enough. There are times when, I think it was in that fifth or sixth round when I thought, man, this is getting close to where the referee might want to stop the fight. But then Gache would come back just enough and keep punching and keep countering, and he hit him with some good shots too. It wasn't just throwing punches just for the sake of just making himself look busy, but he did land some nice counters.
For Tim, you know, you come in, you win your American debut on Showtime, which is obviously important for them, you know, and moving forward. You might look at it as a negative, but in some ways, like, the knockdown and the cut could also be a positive because now he looks vulnerable. And, you know, the other guys in the division might be like, yeah, I'll have some of that, you know, like I can, you know, if Gache could do that, I could do that, you know, no offense to Gache, but if the guys who are ranked higher than him, you know, if they're going to put themselves in there, they might think they can do better or capitalize where Gache wasn't able to capitalize. So, and then likewise for Gache, you know, he was unfortunately counted out, I think, by a lot of folks, thankfully, not by a lot of the folks at the Armory. I mean, the chance of USA were pretty awesome. You know, Gache definitely had huge contingent of supporters at the Armory, which was great. So did Team Zoo. I saw the Aussie flags and everything too. That was great too. But like I was saying, so it's good for Gache because he comes out doing much better than maybe was expected. And, you know, that helps set him up for, you know, for another fight because he went the distance. Yeah, you know, he took a little bit of punishment, but at the same time, he wasn't stopped. I don't believe he was cut. So he should be in good position, you know, to move forward and get another fight. So,
yeah, so. I think so. And I was a little surprised by the one scorecard that had it just 114-113. I didn't think it was that close. I think more there was a 116, I think 116-111 or something like that. And I think that's probably about right.
That on one of the Aussie sites, that scorecard. And I said, as a Minnesotan, I feel obligated to point out all of those judges from Illinois. And we don't get, you know, a bad rep. But and you know, one person was like, I don't think they really understood where I was coming from with the comment, and they're like, you know, wait, so you're an American, you know, saying that American judge is bad. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, maybe you guys don't get it, like in Australia, I'm like, we're in the States, we kind of rib each other a little bit and, you know, give each other a hard time from state to state. And I'm like, so like, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota, like border battle or something. And I was like, you know, we take pride in our state and we want to make sure that fighters want to come back here. And, you know, like after that Fox thing happened, you don't want people thinking you never want to come back here. And, you know, you see a bad scorecard and you don't want people going, oh, I see how it is there. Like I go there and it's going to be controversial or something. Because that happened down in Dallas for a while where people were like, I remember Paulie Malignaggi fought down there and got hosed once. And it was around that time, like when Baby Bull Diaz was fighting too. There were some controversial scorecards that happened down in Texas and people kind of would always comment about it. Anytime it was a fight down there, it was like, is it going to be controversial or not? And that's the last thing you want attached, you know, to your hometown. So that scorecard I thought was very controversial, but thankfully the right person won. And even on that scorecard, the right person won.
Yeah. That's the important thing. I mean, you give him the 2 points for the first round knockdown. And then you figure, okay, maybe he won 2 other rounds besides that. So that just kind of doing the math, that gets you to about 116, 111, doesn't it? I mean, that seems about right.
I think that's pretty darn close. I mean, I don't think Zoo, you know, was going to be, you know, unhappy with the victory. He got what he needed, you know, and people aren't going to remember that one scorecard. Thankfully, they're going to remember the performance. So,
yeah. And he did mention in the post-fight press conference, we'll hear from that later, but apparently he had been sick for a while before the fight and had just kind of a chest cold or just a little bit under the weather. And he didn't mention it before the fight because he didn't want to use it as an excuse or anything like that, but that's I think even more impressive that you're still able to keep up that kind of pace over 12 rounds when you're not feeling 100% physically. So
bring up the fact that the fight was 12 rounds. You know, it was, I mean, Zoo is a WBO number one ranked, and I am trying to think off the top of my head, I can't recall here. Hang on. Got it in my folder. The fight was officially... Pardon the noise of the paper here, fellas and ladies. It was, though, yeah, the WBO Global Super Welterweight title. So it was...
Yeah.
I think he holds like an interim or something as that number one rank. So that was on the line, which is why it was 12. It was, you know, his title, his interim title ranking or whatever was on the line. And I think that also goes back to one of the positives that both Gauche and Zoo can take away is you got some good rounds, you know, they both need the rounds. And, you know, if they're going to keep moving forward, you know, like guys like David Morrell, which we're really excited to see him at the Armory coming up in June. That's one of the things, while I'm excited for him that he keeps scoring fast knockouts and stuff, you know, which is great. You know, and don't get me wrong, the fact what it was Dempsey always said, like the sooner the safer or something like that, which is always good. But, you know, these guys, they need to get rounds in too sometimes, or they at least need to be active sparring in the gym. So,
yeah,
I'm always trying to find a positive, you know, when a fight goes the distance. And it's like, you know, the guys get in good rounds. And as long as they're in there with high level competition, you know, and they're getting that good competitive fights, you know, where they're going to be learning. And like, I don't know if you saw that interview with him afterwards where someone asked him what he could learn from the fight, what Zeus could learn from the fight. And he was like, everything, you know, or like what he could work on. Yeah. And he said, yeah, which was a really good answer. It was just sort of like, hey, there's, you know, I can learn and improve on every aspect of my game. So that's good.
Yeah, that was good. And you're right. Tim did bring a belt to the post-fight press conference. He had a belt there on the podium. So I knew there was some kind of title on the line, but what he's really gunning for, of course, is the winner of Charlo versus Castaño. And that, I think, will be a very interesting fight. Hopefully they can make that happen. So,
yeah, you heard him on the press conference when the thing they were asking Gauche, technically at the time, you know, if he would want the winner of that fight or if either of them would want it. And Zoo chimes in and says, like, F yeah.
Yeah,
he wants it. And that Gauche chuckled too. They're like, yeah, absolutely. They, you know, they both would love that fight.
Absolutely.
So anyway, yeah, main event was awesome. If you didn't see it on Showtime and if you weren't live at the Armory, you missed out on something really special in Minnesota. But the good news is it was on Showtime. So you can go back and you can watch it again. So, and you can go on YouTube and check out their highlights or go on the PBC, the Premier Boxing Champions YouTube, or their social media, and you can see lots of the clips and highlights. So that's always pretty awesome.
Absolutely. And what were your thoughts on Michelle Rivera? I know when you put Ali's name on your trunks, you're kind of, that's a pretty bold move, pretty big name to try to live up to. And he does resemble him physically. I think he's got a ways to go before he can be considered in that same class as far as physical talent, but he's a great fighter, and he was fun to watch. Well, seems to be a good guy too. So
I don't other than the physical similarities, you know, the way that he looks, I don't see any, but the physical similarities are great. You know, when you look at him at a distance, like he came in that towel and the trunks that, you know, look like the Ali's old trunks, he's got the haircut. Very, very similar, but from the way that he fights is not like Ali. You know, he doesn't jab the same. I mean, who does, right? I mean, who could jab, move like that, or who can move like Ali? So not really a criticism of him, because who can emulate the greatest, right? So but then also you know, obviously he's not from the US, so he's got some work to do if he's going to keep fighting in the US. If he wants to be the crossover star, I guess, you know, to learn English a little bit better, because he was trying, give him a lot of credit. He was trying in that post-fight interview in the ring with Jim Gray. And Jim, I know that even just out in the crowd, we could hear that he asked him something about his dad. And like, it got lost in translation, but it was a weird, awkward moment. And eventually Jim just had to kind of go, okay, moving on. like this isn't working. We're not, even with Felix De Jesus up there translating. I liked him. And I liked that Joseph Adorno also, both tough guys. I'd like to see either of them fight again. I mean, Adorno didn't seem, I don't know, crisp at times. Like he was good. He's good at moving. You know, I just don't know. Styles make fights, you know, and that Rivera, he came and he was putting pressure on Adorno, and it was sort of like the main event in the sense that Adorno was like Gache, he was moving, you know, and Rivera was like Zoo and he was following him around. So
he looked good, and I look forward to seeing him again. And in the other televised fight, Elvis Rodriguez came out on top, and it was always good to see Freddie Roach. Got to see Freddie Roach in his corner. And so, that was a nice part of the card as well. So
yeah, we got to see him rock the air guitar too. So that was fun. After he scored his victory, he always does the air guitar to play up the Elvis name. That's cool.
Yep. So looking forward to the next one here on June 4th. And we've got some in between then and now, we have Canterbury coming up. So
yeah, I'm sure April 23rd. More about that.
Yep.
Yeah, I know we're going to try and do a preview episode similar to what we did last time. We're going to try and get as many of the guys on the card as we can. If you're on it and we missed you, we're going to try and get you. I know we said that we want to, well, we've been trying to get a couple people on, like Mark Nelson, the referee, world-class referee. We've been trying to get him on, so he's one. Robbie Lloyd, Fights Out of Work Jim, he's going to be on that Canterbury card. He's definitely one we're excited to have on the podcast. Other than that, man. I mean, for sure. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it looked like he traveled out west, I want to say, maybe to California or something. I think he's doing some training. So positive signs. I've seen him posting a little bit on social media, and I thought I noticed that he was either going to Vegas or California or something to go do some training. So that's positive signs that he's staying active.
For sure. And again, just from this Armory card, great, great main event, good fights all around. But just the atmosphere there in the Armory and the way that people turned out.
What was the total? Like, Andrew Johnson was sitting next to us, and I thought he said it was over 4,000, like 4,800.
Yeah, something like that. And the crowd seemed to be into it. Just, it was a good thing for Minnesota boxing to see that kind of enthusiasm for a card that did not feature a local fighter. And so hopefully we can expect to see, well, I know we're going to be seeing more for sure,
right,
this year, and hopefully in the years to come. So really pleased with how that turned out.
Yeah, I know we're always excited when we have Minnesota fighters on the cards, you know, whether it was Jamal, who was ringside, I saw him there last night, that was great, or whether it's David Morrell, who was also in the house of the Armory last night, looking very dapper and sharp. He's going to be fighting coming up in June. And typically when one of those guys fights, we like to see someone else from Minnesota on the card, whether it be Vishon Owens is one of our favorites, or whoever. And that's the hope, I guess, is even though it's, it's going to be another Showtime card, we're hoping maybe we can get a guy on the undercard like Vishon or something. But if we can't, we can't. But, you know, it's very cool experience. And I can say that I was super happy when I was looking around in the crowd to see so many people in the Minnesota boxing scene that turned out, you know, on social media. I'm friends with a lot of people that I don't get a chance to meet in person. You know, we're just, you know, Facebook friends or something. And being at the fights is really cool because they come up and say hi, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, we've been friends forever. So very cool. I got to meet some folks last night, but yeah, we had Minnesota Hall of Famers in the house, you know, from Mark and Denny Nelson. I know we invited Danny Morgan. I don't know if he made it out or not. But yeah, in the local scene, you know, all the gyms were turning out. Like I know Michael Lewis from 3P was there with his guys, and they were posting all over. I saw Mike Richmond, you know, bare knuckle boxer who's got a fight coming up April 9th, was in the house. He had really, really good seats. And he was posting about that. So we love seeing those guys, and, you know, and there was many, many more. I could go on and on, but there was a lot of people in the building. Just makes it more fun, you know? So thank you to all of those guys, you know, who are part of the Minnesota boxing scene who turned out, because it really does make a huge difference, you know, trying to build hype for the next ones, you know, and showing those big networks that you should come back, you know?
For sure. And the next one should not, I mean, that should, they should definitely be hanging from the rafters for that one. We have David Morrell, of course, but also Stephen Fulton headlining Unified, putting his Unified bantamweight, super bantamweight titles on the line against the former Unified champion, Daniel Roman. That should be a great fight, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I right now, as of right now on BoxRec and, you know, the flyers that went out in the press release, those are the only fights so far listed on that card. And like I said, hopefully we'll get, you know, like a Vishon Owens or something on that card. Rumor is that he started training. So that's about the right time frame, you know. But if not, you know, like I said, we're excited to see whoever. And it was such a cool experience. Showtime's awesome. The PBC is great. Warriors Boxing. Is it TGB Promotions? You know, Warriors and TGB, like, they're kind of like, seems like the two promotional companies that really roll through on those PBC cards at the Armory, and they do a great job. I tried to tag them in all the stuff I was doing. Sorry, in the past, guys, I don't always tag you if you're listening. I'm trying to get better on that when I'm doing my Instagram, especially tagging you guys on that stuff and making sure we give credit to, you know, those organizations, because we're really lucky that they keep coming through. Like I said, you know, like the PBC and Showtime, and when it's Fox, you know, like, we're blessed to have them there. So, and the Armory is so awesome. Hopefully everyone that hadn't been to the Armory, I know there's a lot of people that hadn't been there. They were talking about, like, man, I got to go check this out. And they were feeling the buzz, you know, the hype surrounding this fight. Like you said, even though there wasn't a Minnesota fighter on it, and they came out, and I know my nephew was there with my brother-in-law. And today when I was at church, my brother-in-law, he said that my nephew Tommy really liked it. So Tommy, if you're listening, I'm glad you liked it, buddy. And we'll be at the next one for sure.
Yeah, the Armory is a first-class place, and, you know, they even with the crowd there, you never had to stand in line to use the restroom or anything like that. It's there. Everything is just well laid out and beautifully done. So kudos to them. And, you know, I'm biased. I'm a big Armory guy, but I have to say that.
I mean, I don't know how I cannot be biased, just because, number one, you know, I'm blessed to be working with you, Brian, and you introduced me to Rob, and I get, through my association with you, I get to meet a lot of people. So I'm very blessed, you know. But other than that, the building itself, like I said, in the history, it's just, you know, and the owners, like, everybody, they know what they're doing, and it's just, it's top class, like, all the way. So, and you feel that, and nothing against our other guys, you know, on the state. I mean, I love going to Hinckley, and that was one of the best shows, I think, of the year, actually, was that last Hinckley show. We were talking about that, and Corey Rapese and the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe putting on an awesome show. We loved the last Canterbury show, with, you know, Ignite Fights and Eric Hinderacher and Jeremy, is it Bjornberg? I didn't get to meet you in person, Jeremy, if you're listening. That's on my list, is next time I got to actually shake your hand and say thanks, because those Canterbury shows are great. And yeah, that's the next one, like Brian said. So if you're looking for the next one locally to go see big pro boxing, that's going to be down at the Canterbury Expo Center again, April 23rd. And it's going to be a stack card.
Yep. Definitely looking forward to that. So. But yeah, and well, Sean, it was good seeing you again, as always, along with everyone else there. And on to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for going to the fights, guys. Like I said, if you didn't check them out, plenty of opportunity. You can check out Brian or I's social media, the PBC social media. You can check out Showtime social media. Like, you've got a million different options, or just type in Armory, you know, or the Armory. Because I'm sure a lot of people were tagging them. So you won't have to look far, you know, to find footage of all that fun stuff. And it was a great time.
And now we're going to hear from Michelle Rivera and his post-fight press conference.
Well, it was good, you know. It really was 4 months working so hard. I have good corner, this guy was undefeated guy. Everybody was saying like he have real power, but they don't always remember that I have the real power too. You know what they're saying? And technique, I like my jab, but I have it. But I was looking one punch, but he didn't want to fight. Just he was trying survival in the ring. You know what I'm saying? It's difficult to get knocked out when somebody is trying just survival. And he just was trying to get me with one hard punch. But you have to, you can go right there and hit puncher like crazy guy. You have to see what I know what I would do in the ring. You know, I try to win. I try to win. That's what I want. You know, but I feel so good. Everybody see my condition. I make turn around easier, and I win. Like my job was amazing. Like real Cassius Clay, like real Muhammad Ali. I know you see Muhammad Ali like a name, like joking. No, I say because I work so hard and I have the talent for big weight. I can be the best in 135. Right now I have the talent, I look good, I'm so fast, I work hard, I'm seriously in this sport, you know? 23-0 baby right now. Let's see, I feel so good.
How'd you like the atmosphere of the venue? How'd you like this place?
Oh, so good. I love Minnesota. First time was so cold, so freezing. I wanna go from Miami again, you see. But now I love Minnesota. A lot of people are good people right here, I love. It's nice. Yeah, I feel so good.
Hey, so was there at any point in the fight where you felt like you were just, like he was just gonna go, but you just couldn't, you know, like earlier, I suppose?
I was trying to look the knockout, really, because I see him like in the round five, round six, that he don't wanna fight. He just, like I tell you, I was jabbing and he was taking my old jabs, but it was difficult to get like the right hand because he's just going, you know, and he was taking me. And if I am close, I'm bigger than him, I can't get close. I have to make a war in my distance, you know. I don't get a hit, you know, that this was the plan.
So it was around then you knew there was nothing coming back at you, so it was your fight after that point?
What?
There was nothing, he wasn't throwing any punches back at you, so you know it was your fight after that, at that point?
Oh. Yeah, he was in a strategy, so when the other guys keep on running, he knew that he wasn't going to do anything, but he's taller, yeah. So he couldn't go in, because then the other guy would have the advantage. So we had to keep our distance and keep jabbing, but it's hard to run, throw the right when the guy keeps on moving. He didn't engage.
So you didn't feel like, you felt like because he was running too much, that you would have exposed yourself if you would have really went for the knockout?
Yeah, but my plan is win. You know, it's get the win. I don't want to get a hit. He was 14 fights, 0 losses, 12 knockouts. You know what they are saying? I see it because some guys in boxing, they let know that they want to do in the ring. It's like he was trying, like when he come, he was giving pushing, just letting me like I enter and he get me with leg hook that just yeah he have this. Good leg hook, you know, and just working intelligent in my work. I give good hit, not the hit that I want to give because he was running, but I feel good with my victories. He's a different guy.
He's trying to time you to get you to overreach so you can catch you.
Yeah, I was trying sometimes, right. But he was.
Well, you felt the whole time that you were, even though you weren't able to land that knockout punch.
Yeah.
You felt like you were in control the whole fight, right? You were winning, right?
Yeah. I feel I get the control in the first round, right? The first second of the fight started. I put my jab working. I was fainting. He don't know how I come, you know, because I was like, and he don't see the jab, you know, but. The right hand was difficult to get him because he was right there for five, you know. Sometimes I get good combinations in close moments because this is top like two times just. But after this, he started just running hard. And I see something that he was trying like, he went 10 seconds, the final 10 seconds, to do something in the 10 seconds. Like get that, but, you know, some guys draws. He's like, oh, the round is finished. And sometimes you throw and okay, it's 10 seconds, be relaxed. You know, he was trying like get a hit of this like 10 seconds for win the fight, for knockout. He know that he it's impossible that he beat me like normal. He was just trying to get to do the hit.
He was enough for pressure to make it.
I get more experience to using my distance. I know the important right now, right, my jab is special. My jab is amazing. You see it, you don't see it like 135 guys right now that is champions that they don't have this jab. They don't use the jab, just they try like just give one hit. And I would say something, the jab is so important because if you go for 12 round fight and you are jabbing for 7 rounds, the guy will feel this. And in one moment he will stop and you will be everything that you wanna do, you know. I will tell you my right hand, everybody know if you see Fernandez fight that asleep. Everybody, but I can get it. It's not. He was just looking. Don't get it. This, you know.
In a fight like that, where you're clearly the superior fighter, you're winning. You're racking up rounds. He's still a tough guy. Kind of running away from you. Do you chase the knockout or do you just box him till the end, dude? Make sure you get the win.
Yep. It's like you say. I was in plan. You know. I was following just the plan because I don't know how it come. He come. You know, using the jab, using a lot of jab, but I see it like the round three, that he don't want to really fight.
Right.
You know, he was trying like get me.
We wanted to close it,
right.
But he's still dangerous. So we were controlling the whole fight. There's really no reason.
That's where the risk comes in, where you try to chase that.
In the corner, we still wanted to do everything, but what are you going to do? The guy keeps on running. He's not engaging.
Yeah.
He can't go reaching.
So at that point, you just focus on outboxing and get the win at that point.
We were just waiting for him to stop.
The most important part is win.
And now we're going to hear from Tim Zhu.
It was a great experience. Let's have some quiet, please. It was a great experience. I'm glad I got the 12 rounds in against a quality opponent like Terrell. I dug deep. I showed something that, you know, that all fighters are all about, you know, get up and keep fighting on. I'm not in this game to throw a few jabs and run around the ring. I'm here to punch on and fight, you know. And I'm sure it was one entertaining fight, and I'm sure a lot of people were quite entertained with that, you know. So if I can make fans come out of their seat and start screaming, even if it's for me, against me, I don't care. That's what boxing's all about, and that's what I intend to bring for the next 10 years.
You bounced back really well in the second round, but how hurt were you after you took that shot?
No, man, I wasn't hurt. It was just like a flash knockdown. I threw a right. I didn't see his right. Got me down. What do? You get back up. Simple, yeah. That's it. I wasn't hurt at all.
Was it your first knockout? Was it like first jitters in the United States to fight? Or did you just kind of get over?
No, look, I think I was a bit too relaxed coming in. Yeah. Felt like everything was just like, I didn't understand. I wasn't too pumped. I was just too mellow. Usually before my fight, I'm nervous and getting in that zone. It took me two rounds to actually get into that zone.
You feel that you're comfortable or fighting outside of the United States or fighting in Australia?
Oh, United States?
Yeah, just in Minneapolis.
Man, this was a buzz for me, man. This is what I dreamed about, man. I was walking in the ring with that Showtime banner. I was freaking out. I was like, man, this is what I've been watching my whole life on TV.
You still took until the second round?
Yeah.
It
didn't kick in, you know? And then after the knockdown, I was like, all right, I'm in a fight now. I need to wake up and fucking get my shit together.
Was it Russell to engage? Because we know he's the type of fighter that likes to wait on his opponent so he can counterattack. Was that one of the problems with him to get him to engage with him?
look, he's a boxer. He stays on distance, throws a few jabs, crosses, and he's got these real sharp hands, you know. It was a good experience just learning to be able to, you know, sort of miss the shots, take the shots, and being able to see the shots and slowly start putting the pressure on and slowly breaking it down. I think in one round I got him with a few shots and he was nearly ready to go. And then again, and in the later rounds, I could feel him through the body shots I was landing. I could feel him going, making these.
What's the game plan tonight? Really to push him up against the ropes, keep it close, keep it inside, or first, did you want to throw from the distance at all?
The first few rounds, I wanted to be cautious, you know. And I got caught, you know. But it was like a five-fight type learning experience, you know. I went through so much in that fight, and I felt in control most of the time, you know. Like, yeah, he was throwing a few jabs and crosses, but I was sort of just like parrying them off. He didn't, like, I was like, whatever, you know. It doesn't hurt. This is fun. This is what boxing is about for me, you know. If you want to punch on, let's punch on, you know. It was simple.
At the end of the fight, how confident were you that you won, and how surprised were you that the judges had it as close as they did?
I thought I won.
Yeah.
I felt in control most of the time, you know, and then excluding the knockdown, and then the second round, he probably won that as well. So that's a three round head start already.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you do have to catch back up. But I felt like from round three onwards, I felt it was not one-way traffic. Like, yeah, he was landing a few shots, but I felt in control the whole time.
Tim, tell us about that preparation. There was some adversity there you didn't want to talk about before.
Yeah.
Now that it's over.
Yeah, look, I went through a coughing. I was sick for 2 weeks before the fight. I didn't want to say anything, but I couldn't breathe, and my spurts were just going crazy. I was just trying to stay away from everyone and trying to drink as much water. But yeah, it was a good experience learned, you know, like, whatever's faced, whatever problems you have faced, you've got to push through and find a way to keep going.
So was there any when the knockdown happens, because I'm watching this from the balcony of the press balcony, you got up and the blood's coming out, right?
Yeah, it was an accidental headbutt.
So that was up there, because it was up there, okay.
Yeah, accidental headbutt. Yeah, I knew it wasn't a punch because I felt the headbutt, and then the ref came in the corner.
Yeah, I think it was taken care of right away too. Right?
Yeah, Mark, my cut man, did a perfect job. You know, I didn't see the blood at all.
So
yeah, we didn't see it either.
From this fight, what do you think is the experience that you most take going on into a future fight, maybe with Castaño or Charlo?
Man, I'm ready to punch on, facing adversity and being able to recover. You know. It's what boxing's all about, you know. It's never going to be one-way traffic where it's going to be easy, you know. You get punched in the face. This is what it's all about, you know.
What's your prediction for that fight?
Charlo? Castaño? I think Castaño wins. I like his activity level. But if Charlo, look, Charlo's like catches shots and he's. But his work rate isn't high, you know, so he sort of jabs a few times and he moves around and he finds that perfect shot. But Castaño's work rate is cracker, so again, it's going to be an interesting fight.
Do you want your next fight to be here or back at home in Australia?
I like the fact that it was here, you know, I got to get out of my comfort zone, you know. In Australia, it was crazy, because like me coming out of the ring in Australia, I was like, coming into the ring, it was like 20,000 people screaming to the top of their lungs with zero support. Here it was a bit different, you know, it was a different feeling, but you know what, I'm hoping to gain more fans and followers.
Any chance we can Minnesota can be your American home away from home?
Man, there's a few places that I want to go to in America. One of them's Vegas for sure. But yeah, man, if Minnesota's welcomes me again, I'd love to be here again.
See how the crowd is.
Man, it's pretty dope here. And this arena, it's pretty cool.
For as active as you've been, is your plan to wait out Charlo Castaño, or do you want to get a little fight?
If the boys are going to go on a honeymoon after, what am I supposed to do? Wait around? Wait for my boxing life to finish? You know, they fight once a year. You know, you got to stay active. You got to make as much money as you possibly can. And you got to improve day by day. So it's quite simple.
All right, time for two more questions.
Hey, I was going to say, you said your cardio came in sick on this to this fight, but it seems like after the knockdown that you kept getting stronger and stronger, and your volume or your punches was kept increasing. What do you, how did you prepare for that in your camp to be able to?
My coach, man, my coach. He pushes me to the next level. Train 2-3 times a day. Man, there's no stone unturned. You know, this is why I succeed. And my fitness was no problem. I could go another 10 rounds. I don't know, man. I was just feeling sweet, you know. I could see Terrell gassing, breathing heavily. But I was, man, I'll come back to my corner. I was like, sweet, man. Huh? Man, we got the ocean, the beach. Yeah.
Sharks.
We're far, yeah. We fight with the sharks.
All right, Jim, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.